Well, Mr. Fisher, it's a pleasure to be here with you this afternoon, and I'm so glad that you offered to do an interview with us.
Oh, no problem.
We have some questions, as I said, a few moments ago, and let me start by asking you to put your name on the record.
Gundef Heinz Egon Fisher.
And tell us your date of birth as well, I guess, if you want it.
4th November 1929.
Thank you. And then you can describe how you got into the grain industry.
Oh, that was kind of strange, to be honest about it. I was married in Germany, but my father first. And I met a lady, she saw me from Germany, that I made a cat in the back to my wife in Germany. She came in May, I came in November.
This was in what year?
51. 51, 52, yeah?
Right, yes. And so she saw this card that you were completing to send to Germany.
Yeah. And where she lived, she's pretty sure she's not living anymore. She lived there, Branch 6 was before, and that corner house she lived
there before. Oh, yes, Branch 6 Legion.
Yeah. No, it wasn't a Legion, that corner, that brick house, that's a big...
Okay.
That's where she lived. Eh? And then she knew some German, and she sat up to Germany. And then she introduced me to some people, and they said, I didn't have a job then. My dad was an upholsterer. He worked for Chesterfield House. Eh?
Mm-hmm. Upholsterer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He had his own business in Germany, but he worked for Otto Bain after... First Chesterfield House, then in Otto Bain. So, then she introduced me, and she said, and the thing was that the elevator, it was National Grain before, and it's Cargill now. And they were German background. They were born here, but they were German background.
The person you met, or the people that...
That she introduced me to. Was at Cargill. He was the superintendent at Cargill.
Of the National...
National
Grain Elevator.
Cargill,
I see.
So they hired me, and I was never unemployed. I worked there 43 years.
So you began at, you said earlier, Boxing Day on the...
Yeah, Boxing 1951, Day 51.
And you worked at National, become Cargill for the next 43 years, which makes it 94 then, is it?
Well, 92, I suppose.
92?
I believe. I'm not okay. Sure. I think it was 92, but...
Right. Well, that's 40 years.
43 years.
40 full years. Right. And so that's how you began working in it, and that's how long you worked there.
Putting in every department.
Mm-hmm.
Every department.
What did they put you at?
I drove the engine there, the pellet mill.
What did the elevator? What did it do at the time? You've mentioned a couple of things already.
How do you mean? Where I've worked.
The was it primarily storage and shipment of grain?
Yeah,
from the prairies then.
The grain came from the prairies.
Yes,
they had some country elevators down and out west. Eh?
Did you work in the engine room at the very near the beginning?
No. First, I was empty the boxcars. There were no dumpers then. They came later.
No. The boxcars would come in, and the doors would have to be opened, and you'd climb in.
Yeah, and then you got this kind of, it was about a that wide board, which you had the cable on, and it goes up.
How long did you do that?
40.
In the boxcars?
No, not very long.
No. It was always...
Because it was... For Germans, it seemed to be easiest to learn English. So they took... I got an inside... After a couple of months, I got an inside job already, so...
Mm-hmm. And what did you do when you moved inside?
Well, everything. Moving your spouts on the scale I was. Moving your spout, where you can go in the house bins. The cleaner bins or the outside of the annex. Yeah. Pretty much worked in every department, more or less. There's not even one I didn't work.
Right. How many workmen were there at
National? Oh, that was over 100. Now they only got 30 working there. Oh. Now I go there once in a while.
Sure.
And they always have a Christmas party here.
Very nice.
We just had it not too long ago.
And so the a workforce of over 100. You were saying something earlier about the yellow.
Oh, now they only got 30 people working. And they're not even working all the time either.
Were you members of the grain handlers union from the beginning?
Yeah, 650.
It was organized as well.
Yeah,
yeah, large 650 in the grain handlers.
Yeah.
Who was the union leader back in those days? Do you remember?
Mazur? Yeah.
Yeah. Already in the 50s?
Yeah.
Because he was certainly there, 30 years later?
Yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah. A lot of time. I go there once in a while if I want something for them.
Yes.
And we got insurance with them still there.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a pension from them.
Was there any kind of order to the work that you did in terms of your advancing through it? Were the 100 men, did they take different jobs at different times?
Oh, yeah, but the thing is that a lot of Ukrainians, lots of Italians, and they didn't read it. For us, it seemed a lot easier learning the English language than they did. So we got the inside jobs already, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even there was guys longer than I was there, and they still were shoveling coal. And I had a really nice, easy job inside because it was easy to pick up the English language. You know?
Yes. Were there many Germans?
This is quite a few, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know whether there were Germans working at other elevators, or was it...
Mostly Italians. It seemed to be obvious, whoever was boss, that's my hire. Like I said, when I started, the two Germans, German descent, they were not German anymore.
No.
They hired the Germans first.
Yes.
So when the Ukrainians, they hired Ukrainians. That's how it was working those days.
And there were Italian and Ukrainian managers as well, were there?
Not really. But they had department to run, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, you had to scale it. In that time, you still have to weigh by hand. Eh? Now it's all automatic now, but... So,
when you were weighing the grain, did you do it? Was the boxcar weighed, clean, full and empty?
No.
What?
On the scale, dead scales upstairs.
Okay.
They went up there,
right.
The buckets upstairs,
right.
And go on the scale. And if I remember correctly, 90,000 was for wheat, and oats was the lightest. Eh?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it would be.
And barley.
Yeah, trying to remember.
I think barley was 68, and I know what oats was. That's too long ago.
I'm tempted to say, was wheat 60 pounds to the bushel, and barley a bit less, and oats was it 34 pounds?
Something like that. I'm not quite sure anymore.
I'm having to remember growing up on the farm. And,
too long ago.
Yeah, well, it is too long ago.
And I've been out of business for quite a while, too. That's the difference, too. Now they got... They got the dumper. I think it's about 3-4 guys working on the dumper. One guy on the engine. they have a locomotive, eh?
Yeah.
And they move the cars around.
I think your elevator was the first one I visited. Frank took me up there, actually, Frank Mazur.
Oh.
And showed me that elevator. I'm not sure why he chose to take me to the Cargill elevator as it was by this time.
Yeah, well, it was National, when I started, it was National Grain.
Yes.
And owned by the PV system in the States, eh?
Oh, it was an American company, PV out of Minneapolis.
I guess
it is. Did you see the PV people very often, or?
No. They came to our time, Heffelfinger, I think was the name. They run the PV system in the States.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, were the Germans down there by any chance as well?
At Cargill?
Well, no, the PV people in the first order.
I wouldn't know.
No.
I couldn't say.
I suppose. Do you have any sense of the elevator system that PV had on the prairies? Did they own a lot of elevators, or did you ever see a list or a map?
No. Yeah, we seen it, but I don't remember anymore. No.
Have you ever visited the prairies?
No.
No, so it's been here in Thunder Bay.
Yeah.
Did you get involved with the loading of the ships at all?
Was it? Yeah, well, that's the scales,
You were mentioning, the scales and then the spouts and so on and so forth.
Well, see, it comes, you had your bins outside.
The Cargill elevator, or the National elevator, was the main one on the Grand Trunk Pacific line, actually, was it not?
I don't know.
Do you know what railway line you were? Well, Canadian National. Yeah. It'd be Canadian National by that time.
Yeah.
But,
well, they owned some in Quebec, too, at Three Rivers.
The National did. Cargill? Cargill later on. When did Cargill take it over?
Oh, Jesus.
Would it be as early as the 80s?
Hey, what's that?
Was it as early as the 1980s sometime, or was it even earlier than that?
Well, I think it was earlier than that. Yeah, I
guess we'll have to pull out the phone books and take a look to see when the name suddenly changes on it. Was there a typical day for you at work?
No, not really. No, once you establish it, when you first start there, you hadn't pretty any job. Then after a while, you establish yourself. There's this opening up. They advertise opening jobs inside the elevator, the cleaners or spout, whatever it is. And if you're interested, you bid on it. Eh? And you had the seniority to get it, you got the job. Eh?
Oh, yes. So that there was a seniority system.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, seniority would be when you first started,
who'd
worked there longer and so on. The jobs themselves. Would you have a ranking in your own mind of what was the best job to have and which ones you'd really like to have?
Oh, the inspection is most interesting, where you inspect the grain. That's the most interesting one.
And as an employee of National and Cargill later on, you were involved, you could be involved in the grain inspection too.
Yes, I was.
I see.
One of my jobs.
Right.
Yeah. And because you had the government staff,
Yes. What would your part of the grain inspection involve then?
Grading it. Like I said, it comes in at the out west, whoever shipped it, they put a grade on there. Either you agree with it or you don't agree with it. And if you don't agree with it, then you can either lower it or put it higher.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy who he owned it, he obviously, if he doesn't agree with it, if he's not satisfied that what he did, then he can put a protest in there.
Right. And the company would take your reading on it?
No, the government. No.
So what do you think the point of having the company inspectors there? Was it to some extent as a check on the government inspectors?
Yeah. Either, like I said, if they don't agree with it, most times they don't. They do agree with it.
Yes.
So most of the time there's no argument there. But but the company is not as satisfied. Either they can reject it or, whatever. Sure.
The company would be the owner of the wheat, wouldn't they? They would have...
No, it's our government owned.
No, I mean the grain itself. Yeah. Well, it is, of course, through the wheat board.
Yeah.
But I mean they have...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that is a nice question. Exactly how that... The... I guess the farmers are paid by the wheat board, aren't they? You're right.
I imagine so.
So the...
They changed the system now, I think. They changed it now. They changed the system. I know.
Well, the wheat board is losing its monopoly control of wheat sales. Yeah. Yes, it's, I guess, at the end of August.
And the thing is, with the barley, next crop year. You have your malting grade, for the beer.
Did you do a fair amount? Did the elevator do a fair amount of malting business? Malting barley? Or was there...
They did some, but I mean, not that wasn't the main. They have to buy products, they got the cleaners, and they had the flax for cleaning flax and canola.
the elevator did handle wheat, barley, flax,
everything.
Every kind of grain.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if that was true at other elevators as well. Did all the elevators?
They all work on the same system.
They weren't specialized.
No. Well, some they had a molding in the Parada side as a molding.
Right. Yes.
I don't know if they still do it or not, but
I suppose the wheat pool, Saskatchewan wheat pool, would be able to designate one elevator, not because they owned a number of them. They could specialize in the individual elevators.
They had percentage to get. Each elevator had how many box counter, how much grain comes to Thunder Bay, and they get so much percentage of it. I forget how.
Be divided up by the railways on the instruction from the wheat board, I suppose, or the companies. Yeah. It was quite a complex, and still is, I suppose, quite a complex system handling all of this wheat.
Oh, yeah. Well, the government staff was... There's quite a few people working for the government. Eh?
Yes. Fewer, perhaps, in the future than in the past, but...
Well, it's cutting down to the system. They're changing now the system, anyway. I don't know how big a change they're doing, but... They're in the progress of changing around now. I don't know.
Yeah. The work that you did do you think would interest... people to know about individual parts of the job?
Oh, the thing is that I think dumping is pretty, driving the engine is pretty, that's pretty nice, eh? Drove the engine time too.
This is the engine room?
No, they own the locomotive to move the car.
Oh, I see.
Locomotive,
yeah, a yard locomotive.
Yeah.
And did you have that job?
Oh, I had it too. I see. I pretty heavy job in the elevator.
Right.
Years I've worked.
I see. And there was always good on-the-job training, I hope?
Well, like I said, if there were bits out, like I said, if there is an opening for a kind of job or more job created, they advertise it. And then if you're interested, if you had the seniority, you got the job.
Right. This... must mean then that there were no specialists in the workforce. No one did the same thing for years and years and years.
Oh,
well, they did in a way, but they could do other things if they chose to.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, if you had a job there and there's another opening and you're interested, you bid for it.
Yes.
And if you had the seniority, then you got the job. Eh?
Did you bid for more jobs than other people did?
Most likely, that's when your seniority comes in.
Yes, of course. But there were people who would, you mentioned the ones who were stuck in the boxcars for years, cleaning them out, eh?
It seemed to be from a German background, they learned a lot easier the English language than the Italians did, So you couldn't work inside because you had to answer the phone. Eh? Now they got all walkie-talkies and all that. The system is different then.
Right. Was literacy an important part of the job?
What's that?
Was being able to read English important to the job?
Not really.
But
no, speaking.
Speaking was what counted.
No, reading was actually not the main.
No.
I mean, it didn't hurt any, but it wasn't the main.
No.
No.
Did workplace health and safety
rules?
Because I'm thinking that reading might be important in some of those areas.
Well,
how did that change over the years of your working there?
Jesus, I can't put my finger on it, to be truthful, you know.
Did you ever have any explosions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it blew up. I had to shift. We had a fire in one of the bins, for the fire. Eh? And I worked at an inspection till about 12 o'clock or so, 11:30, 12 o'clock. And then I checked the bin and I went over there and I went over to the bin, looked in, we had a light in there. And she didn't look very good to me. And I just got home, she blew up, just before 12.
Now, this was the first time you'd seen a bin that blew up, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
After that, you knew what the look meant, eh?
That was sunflower seeds.
Oh, yes. And what kind of appearance did it have? Was there smoke coming from it?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where there's smoke, there's fire, right?
You're not kidding. Yeah. Oh, I just got home. And I just went to bed, and then must have been my wife or my mother, I forget who it was. They said, this is, he just heard, on a, must have been on a, came on the radio, that the elevator blew up. I said, geez, I just got out there in time. Nobody got hurt anyway, so that was the case.
How much damage did it do?
Oh, blew a whole section apart.
So that had to be rebuilt?
Put all the siding out.
Do you remember when this was? When it happened?
When did it happen? I can't put my finger on it right now. Truthful about it.
Yeah.
It's quite a while ago. Anyway.
Yes.
And all the side blues out.
They had
the sheet metal, you know, round.
Sure.
That all blew out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but nobody got hurt anyway.
No. Well, that would be...
One guy got thrown. He missed that much from the roof. He came to land.
So that was one of the exciting times.
Oh, it's not for sure. But we were never laid off. They emptied some bins out and cleaned it up. So we never laid off.
No. Do you remember what the capacity of that elevator was?
Six million bushels, something like that.
Could be stored there.
Yeah.
Did Cargill add to it, or is the elevator?
No.
It's still the same big elevator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they put a big shed there where they put grade in there. They built that after.
Additional storage.
That was the storage, and they tore that down. It was just a concrete platform left there, and they built another dryer over there and storage there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Are there other things that might interest people or surprise them about the work that you did at National?
Well, it wasn't a very nice job. Dirty, eh?
Yeah.
They had no pollution system that came in later. They didn't have it, no. Now it's got, they got the big suction system, so it's a lot cleaner now than it was in those days.
So when you started in 51, I'm sorry, the elevator will have been presumably like the other elevators, maybe a little, because some of the elevators had work done on them, I think, in the late 40s, because there had been that big explosion near Current River in 1945 that was a warning. But you wouldn't know, of course, because you started 6 years later, whether they'd done anything at the National. The next stage, phase of work, I think, was in the 1970s when they really set to work with pollution control to control the dust. And
that's, well, it's very clean now. I mean, it's still dust, you know, you can't get away from it, but it's a lot cleaner than it's now.
Yeah, the National used to do its part of spreading dust over the city, I suppose. And although it's near the waterfront.
I imagine so.
Maybe it...
especially when they put on the boats, you know, where the grain goes in the boats, and all that dust is still dust. Can't get away from it.
Yeah. So you were mentioning the engine. Did you work on the engine then for quite a period of time?
Yeah.
And then an even better job came along?
Well, not necessarily a better job, the job you like more to do. Not necessarily might be not a better job, but it's something, you know, say you work on a cleaner.
Yes.
And open a job, they need a new guy on the engine. Well, if they put the bid out, and if you're interested and got the joy, you got the job.
Did you like variety in work? You like to do different things?
Yeah.
Because there were some people who were...
Some was it was easy, eh? You know, normally the spouts. Yeah. In the olden, first order, you have all this movement by hand, eh? Well, after a while, you had the hydraulic system did the job. You don't have to move them by hand.
And that's one of the changes that you saw, this change from manual to hydraulic assisted.
Yeah. Oh, that was a lot easier because when you still had to move them by hand, that was a hard job.
Yes. I suppose cleaning, getting the grain out of boxcars would be hard work. And moving these spouts would be hard work. What were other jobs, the hardest kind of jobs that there were at the elevator?
I would say shoveling by hand, that was the hardest job.
Yeah, I can well imagine. And what were the nicest jobs? I'll say nicest rather than easiest,
Well, the
perhaps.
Engine is pretty... But because you sit down and you didn't have... The engine does all the work, you know. You just have to switch it up. That was the easy job.
When you went into the engine, did someone came along to show you how to do it, I suppose?
Well, it's not much. The engine's not much to do. What the heck is it? You got one lever and that's everything. But back up, go forward. And
You ever have any accidents with it?
Oh, I imagine we had. I'm not to remember any, but I'm pretty sure we had accidents.
Yeah.
Because they had that engine to save money or whatever it was, safe in it. Well, they had the remote control, and that guy they wanted to do a lot of other things, but then sometimes the remote control they went out of then the engine go by itself.
Not into the lake.
He lost a couple of times. Lost the engine. No, it did not in the water. There was where the rails were, where the end was, there was a kind of drop.
Right. You didn't actually have it go over the dropper, did it?
Eh?
Did the engine actually go over that drop?
No.
No. So imagine there were...
There was an old...
breaker set up or whatever. Yeah, you wouldn't want that to happen. And at the other end,
But it still works the same. I don't go to our time. If I want something, I go over there, not too often anymore. It's the same there now.
Yeah. And so the shoveling's the worst. Is the
by hand? Sure.
Driving the engine is the nicest.
Yeah.
Grain inspecting is somewhere in between.
Oh, grain inspecting. You always come. If you can't not make too many mistakes, then you lose.
Yes. No, you certainly wouldn't want to make mistakes. Yeah. What? Are you most proud of from the work that you did? You saw the...
Oh, I like the inspection. It's I like inspecting grain. I like that job. Scales, it's not much to that.
No.
And after a while, like it's moving those spouts before they were moved by hydraulic system. But we had to move them by hand. That was... Pretty hard job.
Yes, I can well imagine. What other jobs would you have done?
Well, I did work on the cleaners, not very much.
No,
I worked on it, but not very often.
So, working the cleaner involved what kind of work?
It was a setting, you know. You have to set them for a different type of grain and...
Were all the different grains put through the same... cleaner than the same equipment?
Yeah.
From
they had different cylinders.
Let's say from barley to flax.
Yeah, they have different cylinders.
Yes. How many specialty crops would you have handled? You mentioned sunflower seeds. I think of flax as kind of a specialty crop. Did you mention canola?
Huh?
Canola?
Oh, yeah, canola, yeah. Flax, canola. Right.
What else?
Any. Oats, barley.
Yeah, well, I think of those as standard wheats. Yeah, or standard grains. Durum.
That's where you make spaghetti from, eh?
Yes. Yeah. What are you most proud of in the... I guess I'd asked you that question already once. When you saw that we were doing this project, it caught your eye.
Yeah, well, it was an ad in the paper.
Yes.
I phoned the lady there. I said, what do you like to know and what's involved here, you know? Mm-hmm. Because they didn't give me much information to them.
No.
And I said, I don't mind. I got time. I don't work, so.
Right.
My wife passed away 7 months ago, so.
Oh, leaves you even more at loose ends. Yeah, that's not easy. The work that you did was important in Canada's grain trade, wasn't it?
Yes. Oh, certainly.
Yes.
Like we had, like there are not many, that Anamania elevators we got left now, there are not that many even left now, eh?
And the...
Not too many.
The jury is out at the moment on how many we'll have left in a few days' time with, if Glencore from Switzerland is buying Viterra and tearing it apart, apparently, or...
It was all business.
I wondered if Cargill was going to make a serious play for it, but apparently not. Of course, Cargill's buying Viterra would mean a reduction in competition on the prairies, whereas this other deal,
well,
I guess,
Cargill's won't. Cargill's a big outfit. They own a lot of stuff.
Yes. Did you see changes at the elevator when Cargill took over?
Not really. No.
Did they keep the same managers and all? Or did they send some people in?
They sent somebody from Quebec up here, but he didn't stay too long. He went back to Quebec, the French-speaking stuff, eh?
Oh, yes.
But they didn't stay long.
He may have been sent to check to see how well it would fit into the cargo system, I suppose. But so the managers, the foremen, and so on and so forth, pretty well continued.
You see all the local people there.
Sure.
Scoop was the... Scoop Avid.
Mm-hmm. Who... this is one of the managers that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
How many different managers did you have in those 40 years?
How many different ones?
Yes.
Oh. Not that many, actually.
No.
They stayed pretty long. Huh?
Did... was the union important to you in your...
Well, see, I belong to the union in Germany already.
Oh, yes. Which union was it there?
In Germany?
Yeah, what did you do as a union member there? What job were you in?
I worked for a lumber yard in Germany.
And so and they were organized?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then here after... Then I joined the union here. That was funny. That guy's life not alive anymore. And because I worked in Germany in the union, I want want to join the union here. And I approached him. Oh, he said, "Oh, you won't be too long here anyway. You won't last." He said, "You don't have to join the union." That's what he told me.
This wasn't the manager.
No, one of the guys.
One of the workers.
Yeah, but he was a kind of kind of big. He was the head inspector for the company.
I see.
And he says, "Oh," I said, "and he was involved with the union." And I asked him about the union. Oh, he says, "You won't be here long anyway." He says, "I don't have to join."
I take it he wasn't a German.
No.
Was he an Englishman? Is we an Englander?
I don't know what nationality he was.
No. Canadian.
Curry. Hector Curry.
Okay, Curry. Irishman.
Could be. I don't know what background.
Were you involved with the union in its organization at all? Did you have any offices in Lodge 650?
I was the president in Cargill, for a while.
President of the
union.
At Cargill. How did they organize that? Were there locals in each of the elevators?
Yeah.
Within the large 650 organization?
Each elevator, I think they all belong to a union after all.
And I
then
think
they
so.
Elected people, yeah?
Sure.
Between themselves.
Oh, yes. And so you were president for a while.
Yeah.
Now, what did that involve for you?
Not much. Make sure that they would advertise the job properly. And if the guys didn't agree with it, you know, they said that somebody else might be, would be getting the job or didn't get it.
So you were
inner side complaints.
So in a sense, you were policing the seniority system.
Yeah.
Did you have health and safety concerns as well?
Yes, but they still got them now either.
Well, yes, of course, they're always there.
Every once a month they have a meeting, yeah?
I see.
And then they bring up complaints or if accidents happen, if they could be prevented or, or they didn't handle it right or something, you know.
Yeah. The union meetings took place in the elevator or not?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And so the elevator would shut down for a bit of time, and you'd all gather. And,
yeah,
I see. I hadn't thought of that aspect of the operation before.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And are there any particular health and safety concerns that you remember from your time?
No, not. Well, one guy got killed there.
And what had happened to him?
Well, they had a system in there, and I complained about that. They had, on top of the floor, they had pipes going in each bin, like, you know? And they were on top.
Lying right there on the floor. Right.
When I said, look, I said, this is going to happen. He said, you have a trip here, you're gone. Oh, he tripped naturally and got killed. He fell between the belts, huh? That's the only one I think ever got killed, one guy.
The movement of grain by these belts in the elevators was really one of the dangerous parts of the operation, wasn't it?
Well, sure, they were open, eh?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And we had five going this way and three going this way, yeah?
Sort of at right angles.
Yeah.
And you had to be careful around those. Did the clothing you had to wear change over the years?
No, not really. No. You had to have a steel toes, eh?
From the beginning?
No, not from the beginning. It came later. I don't know what time it came in, but it came later. Eh?
Okay. And hard hats came along later?
Yeah,
too?
That came later. Yeah. Now they wear all hard hats.
Yes.
Eh?
Breathing masks?
Yes.
That came along at some point, too?
First they had these cover ones, and then some had a real one, you know, with a filter.
Oh, yes. Did you, as a union member, push any of the company for any of these things?
Oh, that, for some, I don't know how it came about, but for some reason it came about, I don't know how, why, but they all had them, eh?
Sure. Were you ever involved in negotiations? Well, the negotiations, first of all, did they negotiate with all of the elevator companies at the same time? Or?
Yeah.
And so there was a common table.
Yeah.
Were you ever at the table for...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Usually, if you're in a committee of each elevator, they usually go there.
Sure. And did you...
They brought some up that you didn't like and stuff like that, and they brought up what they didn't like. And
Well, this would be before the negotiations, even, I imagine, when the union works out what it's going to...
Yeah.
Do you think that some of the... safety concerns, the clothing, for example, was that part of negotiations by any chance?
Well, you had to have steel shoes. Steel, eh? Well, that was about it. And your filter system, eh?
You don't think that it came through as a result of negotiations
that
the union pushed for?
Yeah. Well, just a lot of these came in a way came about, like, you know.
Yeah, just something changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have this section, of course, a couple of questions, as I said earlier.
Go ahead.
What major changes did you see in your job in the trade over the years?
Well, a lot pollution system improved. Eh? It was not as dirty as it was in the earlier days.
That's good.
In the earlier days, you couldn't, when they opened the 15 cars in the traction, you couldn't see anything. There's no pollution, there's nothing. You couldn't see anything.
No.
But now they all got dumpers now.
Well, I was going to say that dumpers came to your elevator as well.
Oh, yeah. It's still over there, the same dumper still works.
And then in the 70s, the cars came in. I'm thinking of the
hopper cars.
The hopper cars came in. And did they have dumpers earlier already for the box cars, or was it?
Oh, they had some, but not, it was mostly box cars. The dumper came in a later stage. You got more and more and more.
Yes.
Very seldom see boxcar now. I think they get an odd one, but most of them are now.
No, it is those hopper cars that they're using for sure, have been since the 70s when Canada...
I know what the year was, but it's quite a while ago.
Some of that was, I think, make-work projects with Sydney Steel in Nova Scotia and so on, they're building these hopper cars. And that was a good thing, the railways needed them.
Oh, that's the hopper cars, they're a great deal.
Yes. Could you think of other... you mentioned the chutes and pulling them around and so on, the hydraulic systems came in. What were the engines in the elevator like when you first started? Were they
real
already
locomotive.
Electric?
Or? No, real locomotive. Same as the rail.
Well, for moving the cars, but the elevator itself, what was it powered by? What moved the belts, for example? Was it
electric?
They were already electric motors.
Yeah.
There weren't any steam engines in the place. Yours was all electric. Right. Are there other changes that you can think of that...
Well, the pollution improved quite a bit. That was the main change. We had not very much dust anymore.
No.
And everything was covered. Oh, before the bins were all open, it's all covered now. You know, they got all... You know, they put roofs on them.
Sure. What about four-legged creatures? Were you worry very much about vermin?
No,
you didn't have to.
No.
Fear.
Well, there were rats there, but you know, not too many mice. It was an odd place to, you know, when you had stuff put grain dust down and you lift them up. Well, there's some rats running around.
Yeah.
But but ours was actually not that bad.
You mentioned the pellet plant early on. That was one of the ways of dealing with waste or byproducts from the cleaning.
Yeah.
How did that work?
That worked by steam, and it had the machine was something like a meat grinder. You know, that's how they come out.
Sure. And so the cleanings
that was a pretty clean place.
Right, but I mean in terms of the raw material for this pelletizing would be the screenings that came out of the cleaning.
Yeah.
What was in the screenings as a rule?
Well, small seeds, the odd broken grain, but mostly dust.
Weed seeds, I suppose, and so on and so forth. And you could sell that stuff, apparently.
Oh, sure. They sold all the time, And then to get rid of it too, same price, eh?
Yeah, who was buying the pellets?
Well, the farmers, they feed it to the cattle, eh?
So the cows are putting through weed seeds.
Yeah. Oh, it's all kind of seeds. For every grain that comes in, it's dirty, so they come to clean. Got to put it through the cleaner, and it cleans all the seeds out and all, you know, the broken grain.
Broken kernels and so on and so forth. These changes would obviously affect your own job, your work. The pollution control made it cleaner.
Yes, it's really very clean now.
When you first started, you came back...
Couldn't see anything.
And you came back to the house, you'd be a dust... Or did you clean up at the elevator before you left?
No,
you
cleaned up the elevator.
Yeah. What did they have in the clean-up room? Primarily
change
clothing?
Yeah.
Oh, they did have showers.
Oh, yeah.
I see. So you'd be clean when you headed out, not be carrying stuff home.
It's pretty clean now.
Yes.
And like I say, they have over 100 people when I worked there. Now they got not even 30.
Where would the jobs chiefly have disappeared?
Well, the shoveling by hand. That's the biggest.
So when the hopper cars and the dumpers came in, a whole bunch of people weren't needed any longer.
No, you need three people, but you need to...
Yeah.
You had two guys for opening them up, and the engine, or the cable.
Yes. What did they do at the time? Did guys leave on the basis of seniority, those with least seniority, or...?
What do you mean by what?
Well, when they didn't need all the guys shoveling grain any longer.
Well,
did they lay off a bunch of people at the time?
Yeah, certainly.
But low seniority people, I guess.
Sure.
Because no one had been specialized.
No.
No one had just the great shoveling job. Yeah. Did you work all year round?
Yeah. I never was laid off. I worked there 43 years.
Yeah.
So never laid off one day.
What were you doing in the wintertime?
But you did the same thing you did in the summertime.
Was grain moving?
Sure.
By rail?
Yeah, by rail. Yeah.
Because the ships weren't coming in yet. It's been the lakes, the bay's frozen up for 4 months, more or less, or at least three plus.
Usually, like in a Christmas holiday, like Christmas and New Year's, that's when they usually had the inventory to see how much grain they had left.
Yes. And you'd be doing that, or you'd Did the whole workforce continue year round?
No.
Oh, I see. So. How many of you would be working, let's say, in February then? Half the workforce?
Oh yeah, more than half.
More than half.
Yeah.
So the low seniority people were the ones.
Well, when I started it, it wasn't a big deal. You know, that's how I didn't, because that's how I didn't get laid off.
No.
Because the management was German background, so they kept the Germans and let the Italians out. That wasn't very big greedy.
So it wasn't just seniority.
No, not in the early. Now it doesn't kind of happen anymore. Now.
No. So it's their discrimination.
51, 52, that's how it worked. Because the server was so funny. I visited this one Italian family. And there was a bunch of Italians. The Italians stick all together pretty well anyway. They did in those days.
Yeah, probably still.
And I walked in this house and they said, "That's the guy who took our job," pointing at me. But he got laid off and he worked there before I did. But he got laid off.
And our countries were allies in the war and he still got the job.
that was a funny. Boy, pretty killed me.
I think you'd head for the door. So the management remained German long enough for you to build up your seniority then.
Oh, sure.
Right.
Like I said, I started Boxing Day 51.
Yes. In fact, on Boxing Day, it wasn't a holiday.
No, that wasn't a holiday.
Did they work through the night then? Was it 24-hour day as well?
No, not after a while, no. No, I think they had only two shifts there. 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock and 4 o'clock, not midnight in those days, after.
Right, 8 to 4 in the one day shift.
Yeah.
And then, so it's an eight hours every day. Yeah. The other 16, it was closed down. Mm-hmm. That would be one of the ways, of course, of spreading the work out, wouldn't it? If it's, there were times when you'd work more shifts, though, I suppose, say in September or...
What's that?
When the grain is really moving, would they go to additional shifts then, or...?
Yeah, well, usually Boxing Day is usually that was the... After it was... the odd box car was loading after that.
Yes.
But no more boats.
But I mean, year-round, other times of the year, let's say in the fall, would they have evening shifts as well?
Yeah.
But not a midnight, not midnight to 8. Two 8-hour shifts. Right. What... challenges did you face on the job, other than surviving Italians who'd been laid off?
For us, German background, we learned the English language pretty quick. That was an advantage we had,
Yes.
So we got already, because they had no walkie, it was only telephone in those days,
Yes.
Well, they couldn't talk, so they couldn't get an inside job. No. They got longer there, but they couldn't get the job because they couldn't speak English.
So there were telephones scattered around the elevator, internal system.
Yeah. The telephones are still there. Sure. But they have all these walkie-talkies now.
Yes. Yeah, the Globe and Mail had an article yesterday on the inventor of the walkie-talkie. A man named Gross in Toronto is credited with having done it in the late 1930s, actually. They used them in the Second World War, or began to use them, so... But it took a while for them to get into elevators. Were there other challenges of working in the elevators, or what?
No,
it was a good job.
Yeah,
you were quite happy to be an elevator worker.
Well, but I got a good job too, so I didn't shovel boxcars maybe 2-3 weeks at the most.
Sure.
Then I already got an inside job.
Yes.
So
Did you take German or English lessons at all? Or did...
Yeah, I went to night school 3 years there.
Right.
In Ogden School.
Oh, yes. Ogden School. Right. And that was, were there a lot of immigrants?
All kinds.
Right, people from various countries.
Oh, yeah, all different countries.
Including Italians, I suppose. Including Italians?
Oh, yeah. All kinds.
Yeah.
Ukrainian, Polish, yeah. Ogden School.
Yes. Did you do other courses as well, or
no.
Was that... You came out of Germany with high school?
I joined the gymnasium. Army, eh?
Yes, you mentioned earlier.
I joined for 22 years. Eh?
When did you join the... Which unit was it here in the Lake Superior Regiment?
It was 18th Service Battalion.
Okay.
And I served the Lake Supes also. But,
sure.
But mostly with 18th Service Battalion.
Do you remember when that started?
Eh?
When did you join the battalion?
I was there 22 years, so...
Till your retirement, or did you...
Yeah, after six... No, that was 55, was that army retirement, was 55, eh? Okay. But I got 2 years extension. I think that's not the time.
67.
57, I think.
So we have 1929, you said, 67, that's... 1986? 66 to 86, have I got the arithmetic right? Well, someone else can double-check it with pencil in hand. And you enjoyed you said 22 years, didn't you?
Yeah.
So 66 to
64. 18th Service Battalion.
Right. What kind of work did you do there?
I run the kitchen after. I was a bit dreamy. And I was trying to learn welding, but the guy quit, my instructor. So, in 18th Service Battalion, you had to have a job.
Yes.
Some kind of trade.
Some skill, right, sure.
To get a promotion. Like, you didn't need it special, but
foot
in 18th Service Battalion, you needed a job.
Yes.
I was trying welding, but I quite quit, so I couldn't get. So, then I got... They look for somebody in the kitchen, so I joined the kitchen, and I ran the kitchen after how many years I did.
Now this is managing the kitchen, or were you actually the chef?
I was the chef.
I see.
I ran the kitchen.
Right.
In the field, or they had a kitchen at the armories, or out in the field.
Right.
They got a kegger baker, they had a training area.
Right.
I don't know if they still have it or not.
Sure. And... So does it take a lot of knowledge to run a field kitchen?
Well, they got these big Coleman stoves, you know, big ones. Eh?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I make 200 pork chops or stew.
Have you done camping as well in Canada? No. With a little Coleman stove?
No, I did it out in Quebec. I still got it.
But in the army?
No.
I see.
Oh, yeah, I out in the field. I was a couple of times in Quebec. They got it. I know they had a training area in Quebec. I know they still have it or not.
But you were also at Quebec Falls at the park there and camping with the family and so on and so forth.
Because that'd
be one of the ways to learn how to be a chef, the operator of the field kitchen, I suppose. Are there other things that you'd want to tell us about working for National/Cargill in the elevators?
No, it's quite interesting. Like I said, I worked pretty well all the years. I worked pretty in every department, more or less. Eh?
Yes. How often were you on strike? At least once.
Yeah.
Strike
twice.
In the late 1960s? There
was
a strike?
I know. Yeah, we were on strike, and then the cadets had a camp out. Then I cooked for the cadets.
While you were on strike?
Yeah.
You're earning some money.
Yeah, you get paid.
Sure.
You don't get much pay. But
the strike pay isn't much, and maybe the militia pay isn't very much either.
No.
No.
Well, when you rank it, you get... the normal wages if you set aside a certain length of time.
Sure.
But not just when you go twice a week, but you know, then you scrap whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever did.
You were married when you came to Canada? Right? Were you married already?
Yes. I married 2 weeks before I got married, before I came.
You see, 2 weeks married and then you left your wife. How long was she, how soon did she follow you?
In May. That's
from December. And you had, did you live in this house most of your...
We lived here since 51.
I see. So this has been the family home you're...
Our house was there. Unsyndicated house is not there. You know where that glass shop is? The tire shop there?
Oh, on Syndicate.
Yeah, pretty well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that our house was right there. They tore it down.
I see.
Not there anymore.
Right. And so then you were...
But $7,000 we paid for this.
Right. And all of life is in here.
Yeah, most of life.
Well, I suppose we might. I might ask what your most vivid memories are. Any other exciting things you saw? A bin that was going to blow up and got out before it blew up.
Yeah, I went up.
Other
5 minutes after I left, he blew.
Other exciting things from?
No, that was. I wasn't there anymore, so I wasn't excited. So. But we didn't lose anybody, so nobody got hurt.
Yeah.
One got close, but he didn't get hurt, so that was pretty good.
So you did mention that, the fellow got tripped into the belts and so on.
Yeah, he got killed. Yeah, that was the company's hall, too.
Sure.
These stupid pipes. I told him that those pipes, they're dangerous.
Did they change them afterwards?
Yeah, sure.
When someone had died. Yeah.
That didn't help the guy.
No.
He was gone.
No, it didn't help him at all. Right.
That was a stupid idea. And I told this guy, I said, look, I said, what are you trying to do here? Somebody's going to get hurt here. Oh, no, they're going to get hurt. Oh, sure. 2 hours later, he's dead.
Yeah.
But I think that's the only real accident that ever happened, to my knowledge, but I remember it anyway.
So over 40 years, that's not... not too bad a record, I suppose.
Oh, no, I realize that, but there was no reason for that.
No, of course not. Even that shouldn't have happened. Yeah, you're quite right. Would you say that the elevator was well built then?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not like...
But see, when I first started, it was all open, the bins. Now they got...
Right.
Now they covered them up. But those days, it was pretty dirty out there.
Sure.
Because they had 22 boxcars, I think, each bin.
Each bin could hold the grain of 22 boxcars.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of grain. When you say that they were open, was the top of the bin close to floor level? Were they towering up and open?
Well, something, there was a space maybe not quite as high as this before the bin top was, yeah?
Yes. Well, let me see. I don't suppose I have to ask you whether you think it's a good idea to do this project.
No.
You called us about taking part in it.
That's okay.
So you think that it's important that the people of Thunder Bay have some idea
of
what you and others did in the green elevators?
Yeah. Because it was a big part of the town, not as much anymore now, but at one time, that was a pretty big part of this town, the elevator system.
Yes. My memory is that when I was running for Parliament back in 1984, that there were about 1,800 men working in the water in the elevators. That's the number I remember from Frank Mazur's telling me.
Yeah.
And these days, I don't know whether there are 300.
Frank was quite a guy.
Yeah. What, do you have memories of Frank?
Oh, yeah.
Any stories you'd like to tell us?
Not stories, because I never worked with him.
No.
But he was the head of the union. And
he was indeed.
And he I knew his wife, too. But
yeah. Well, Mary's quite a force in her own right.
Yeah,
I mean, that's...
Quite a one. Now I haven't seen her for a long time.
One of the things that's intrigued me was that Frank was...
We had a Christmas party every year. And we always invited him and his wife to a Christmas party. Because when we run it, but we started it out, and after the cargo took it over, but we started out the Christmas party.
At this elevator?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we had it in the in.
All right. Well, I mean, with for the workers, it was it was a national elevator party.
The hotel on what's it? It's not a hotel anymore.
The Royal Edward.
Now.
The Royal Edward.
Yeah, that's where we always had it.
Oh yes, and Frank and Mary would be invited.
Yeah, he invited them, and then they kept it up.
One of the things that intrigues me about it is that, you know, Frank was Ukrainian and Mary's Italian, and so I think to myself that must have been an interesting relationship
oh, we,
at
we,
times.
I Helga, we, Helga got her to know her very well, because they were we invited him, so they, we sat always together at the party.
Sure.
When we run it.
Yes.
Then Carter took it over after, and they don't invite him anymore.
No,
not did, the union anymore.
Did they move it to a different place or just?
No, they always have it either
at the hotel.
Yeah, at, well, think Holiday Inn, Holiday Inn, or the hello.
There was the Holiday Inn for a while, and then you had to move down the road. Okay, well, I think Dodo, do you have any questions, Owen, that have come to your mind as you've been listening?
Well, not too many, but I was interested in. How you decided to come to Fort William?
My wife's sister lived here.
Okay.
She married a guy from Czechoslovakia, and he could immigrate to Canada before they took the Germans. I think it was about three, four months before the Germans could come here.
I see.
But she was married to a Czechoslovakian.
Now, Czech or Slovak, do you remember?
No.
So they are two countries. Well, they are literally two countries now.
Yeah. No, I couldn't say.
No. Slovaks, there have been a lot of Slovaks in Thunder Bay over the years. Of course, the community at St. Peter's Church has been Slovak.
Well, this guy, he was presented the president of the Painters Union, this guy.
He was the president of it?
Yeah, the Painters Union.
So you left Germany in 51?
November 51.
And you came over on boat? Or?
Yeah.
And landed in the East Coast?
Halifax.
Took the train across the country?
Yep.
What were your first impressions of Canada?
Well, kind of strange, because like we, New Year's Eve is a big day. Christmas is quiet time. But New Year's Eve is, so that was the first New Year. And in Germany, they go nuts in New Year's Eve. I went out here, there wasn't a peep out of here. There was nothing. Nobody,
it's winter time.
Nothing happened here. I said, that was strange.
And how long were you here then before you started to work?
Not too long. 26 December, Boxing Day, I started, 51.
Okay. At the elevator.
Maybe, what, 3 weeks or so? Oh, maybe about a month, I guess.
Yeah.
Late November, too.
And did go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And did somebody suggest you apply at the elevator?
Yeah. But like I said, I went to the post office and made a calendar. My wife was still in Germany. Made a calendar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this was a lady there. Oh, she's not. I'm pretty sure she's not alive anymore. They saw me that is to Germany. And she was not German, but she had German friends. They lived in that corner house beside the branch 6 there. They lived there. And she said, why don't you come and visit me? And then I went over, and there was this guy, German guy. You know, he was running the boiler at Cargill. So then I said, why don't you come over the elevator and see? And then Scoop Ebert was running the elevator in those days.
Yeah.
And Sybil was the superintendent. And Scoop Ebert was run the elevator. Well, he got me the right job right away. So I got Italian got laid off, and I got the job. was very popular guy.
And how did you end up joining the armed forces?
I was trying to get a trade there. That's when I get over there. And in the 18th Service Battalion, you had to have a trade to get promoted. Yes. So I took, and I was interested in welding. That guy quit, so I still didn't have a job. And then I was opening in the kitchen, so I joined the kitchen, and then I ran the kitchen.
So you applied heat to food rather than heat to steel.
Yeah.
So you wanted to be a welder, you?
Yeah. But that guy quit, eh? And the thing is that to get a promotion at those days, at 18 Zelspital, you had to have a trade.
Yes.
Otherwise, you couldn't get promoted.
And you reached, did you say warrant officer?
Huh?
Did you say you reached the rank of warrant officer?
Yeah.
You may have cooked for me because I was in the summer reserves in 1964, and we were out at Kakabeka for a bit.
Yeah. Oh, they were, a lot of times they were out at Shabanavan too.
Okay, I was out at Kakabeka.
Yeah.
But the other thing I wanted to add isn't a question, but my father was a grain inspector for the government.
Yeah.
And he worked from until 1974.
Oh.
Now, I'm not sure if he may have spent some time with the National, but he spent a lot of time with the Searle.
Oh, Searle, so just across the
just
street.
Just down the street from you there.
Yeah.
But he liked his, you know, he liked the grain inspection too.
Oh, yeah. That's a good job.
Yeah.
Did he have any comment on the relationship between government inspectors and the companies? Inspectors?
My sense was that they always got along. They were all trying to do the same job.
No problem with it.
Yeah.
Because I worked quite a bit of inspection and I had to work with you people there. So I had never a problem there.
He always had more problems with his bosses.
I find myself wondering whether the company's inspectors were a holdover from before the wheat.
Well, they were all. In those days when I started, all the inspectors, government inspectors, were all veterans. All of them.
Because my dad was a veteran.
I know, that they were all.
Yeah.
When I started in 51, 52, all the government inspectors, they were all veterans. Not anymore. But a lot of
my dad's friends were all inspectors.
Oh, I know, they all were.
That's right.
They were all
Navy, Air Force.
They were always, they all were veterans.
Yeah.
All the who work for the government, they were all veterans.
The reason I'm musing over this is that there was a time when the company would have owned the grain, and then getting the right grade for it would be important because they would have bought it from farmers, and they would want to be sure that they didn't pay more than they had to for what they were buying.
Yeah.
But it would seem to me that from 1935 or so onwards, once the wheat board took over, if the wheat board was buying the wheat and the other grain, well, maybe it didn't buy all the grains, that would be one of the issues, but if it was buying the wheat, what's the point of having company inspectors? But they may just have kept them on...
Checks and balances.
Maybe. Just a kind of checks and balances.
I don't know what the reason was for the government. The government staff is still there.
Of course.
They're still there.
And I
think they reduced their capacity and what they can do or not, but they were still there.
And Cargill has its own inspector still working.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
Now, of course, they're going to be owning the grain now, so they're inspectors. And that could be, it's just a matter of kind of being prepared for any change that took place.
I have one more question.
By all means.
So what were some of the names of the German families that worked out, you worked with at the elevators? We try to get a sense of, you know, who people worked with when they were at the elevators. So
How you mean?
What were some of the German people you worked with at the elevators? Oh, what were their names? Do you remember?
Yeah. Abetz.
Do you want to spell that? This was the manager as well, Abetz.
Yeah.
Abetz.
E-B-E-R-T-S.
Okay, Abetz, right.
Scoop
Abetz.
He lived on that house, same block, couple blocks down on the corner house, that big house there, with a big yard, that's where they got the lions there. And that's where Scoop lived.
I see.
And then after he lived in Waverly Towers.
Right. And what were some of the others, as Owen was saying? Do you remember the surnames of other workers, your colleagues?
What the heck? Dietrich. He worked for ABTV in Parada.
You mean he went to the paper mill?
Yeah. And my wife's husband, but she's still alive.
Did you belong to the German Association in town?
I did.
But yeah. Friday I had to go. Yeah.
This is the one over the east end there.
The hall is still there.
Yeah.
There was a kindergarten after, but no, I don't
sure.
know.
The German club.
Yeah.
And did you ever run into a chap by the name of Rolf Schneiders?
Who?
Rolf Schneiders. He owned that little elevator down by the river.
Oh, no.
Just down the on Vickers Street, eh?
Yeah.
He bought it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm pretty sure I knew him because that on Vickers, that Cargill owned that elevator too.
Okay.
They owned that elevator too. That was it. That was a special one for. They had a special stuff for oats for the racehorses.
That's right. Yes.
Oh, no, I've worked there, too.
Okay.
I've been there.
Oh, you were sent to work there?
Yeah, I worked there, too. Not all the time, but...
Because it was part of the Cargill...
Yeah.
Or was it national earlier? Or?
Yeah, national earlier.
I see. Mm.
But he had purchased it afterwards and he owned it himself.
Right.
Actually,
they were specialized in oats for the horses.
That's unique, isn't it?
Yeah.
This was grain that was going to Southern Ontario for resources?
No, they sent it overseas.
Oh, really?
Out to...
Thoroughbreds in England? And wherever?
No, not in England.
Or in Kentucky?
I forget what it's called now. Can't think of the name right now, but they had special oats just for racehorses.
I see.
Did they go to the States too, the United States? Some of their...
Could be, I don't know many. I worked there part-time, you know.
Yeah.
But then it's so long ago, you forget, eh?
Yeah, it's a challenge to remember.
Okay, Ernie, I'll turn it back to you. Well, the capable hands.
There. Right, well, thank you very much. I want to appreciate your confidence. I appreciate your giving
problem.
Us some time,
that's
Mr. Fisher. Telling us about your work in the elevators.
Yeah, well, I worked there 43 years, and I pretty work in every department.
Yeah, that's quite the record.
From the dumper to the engine.
Did you carry any souvenirs away from it?
How do you mean by souvenirs?
Other than wounds on the body, I was thinking artifacts, pictures, no. Anything of that sort?
No, I see what I got upstairs.
Well, no...
No,
worry.
Can have a look.
Well, we'll wrap it up here then, so
yeah,
Owen
see,
can turn,
yeah, look,
turn
let
that
me
and
get by.
Thank
sure.
you.
Thank you
very
so
much.
Very much.
No, I'll be right back.
Okay.
Give me 1 minute.